And I invite you to join me in this Advent prayer from Henry Nouwen. Lord Jesus, Master of both light and darkness, send your Holy Spirit upon our preparation for Christmas. We who have so much to do seek spaces to hear your voice each day. We who are anxious over many things look forward to your coming among us. We who are blessed in so many ways long for the complete joy of your kingdom. We whose hearts are heavy seek the joy of your presence. We are your people, walking in darkness, yet seeking the light. To you we say, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. So today I want to talk about hope arrives. I've been speaking about hope, the idea that we wait with expectation, we wait with confidence, that waiting is not necessarily a passive activity or doesn't need to be a time where we're just anxious and do nothing, but it can be an active waiting in hope that enacts our faith and actually makes a difference in the way that we live. And on Christmas Day, we celebrate that hope for the world had arrived. It didn't arrive as people expected it to. It came in the form of a baby, and we've all heard so many Christmas stories, and the scripture that was read so beautifully by Christy, and thank you for them and their family. It's what we want to hear. It's what I want to hear every Christmas. It's words that we know so well that ground us and remind us of the truth of what our faith is all about. But as a pastor, sometimes you think, what am I going to preach on Christmas? I was remembering last year, the COVID got me, and I wasn't able to preach on Christmas. And my friend Brian came, and of course, it's easy to ask someone to preach for you on Christmas because who doesn't have a Christmas sermon ready, right? And how do you talk about something again in a way that's fresh, in a way that's new? For this particular thing, gets sung about, right? So even in stores and on radio stations and all over, you know, people hear different elements of the story of Christ's birth at this time of year, regardless of what religion they are or where they're at spiritually. So today, being who I am and hopefully being directed by the Holy Spirit, I wanted to go just a little further. And at the end of the passage that Christy read, it fades into the very next scene where Jesus is still a baby. And that's the scene that I want to focus on this morning. It's when Mary and Joseph bring Jesus to the temple to present him, to dedicate him. And I want to take a look at that passage this morning because I believe that there are several things that we can learn about hope from that passage. So I'm going to read it in sections this morning, and then I'm just going to pause and make a few reflections on each section in the short time that we have together this morning. And I may need to go to the glasses. Excuse me. This is looking small this morning. All right. This is from Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 22. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. And the first thing I think this reminds us of, the setting and context of this story, is that hope has a very humble beginning. If Jesus is the hope of the world, and I hope that you'll follow along in your minds and understand that when I speak of hope and I speak of Jesus Christ, they're interchangeable for me this morning, that hope has a humble beginning, that Jesus came as a child, and he came not to anyone rich or powerful, but he came to humble, poor parents. And how do we know that Joseph and Mary were poor? Well, this particular text is one of the clues that we get. They brought two birds to be sacrificed for the ritual. How does we know that that indicates they are poor? For in the law of the Lord, recorded in the book of Leviticus, they had lots of purification rites and cleansing rites. Remember that thousands of years ago in the ancient world, without sanitation and a healthcare system, there were certain rules that they needed back then. But they would make a ritual out of it so that they honored the sanctity, the holiness of all of life. You know, it makes me wonder if sometimes we become so clinical that we don't realize that it doesn't take away the holiness of God involved in everything. So when a mother gave birth, she had to wait 40 days because they felt like there was a time of purification that was needed. And then they would go to the temple and they would make a ritual out of it that this time is over. And at this time, apparently, they would dedicate or present the child to the Lord. Very similar to what we do today when we dedicate a child, present a child, christen a child, some baptize a child. The same kind of thing. They are bringing Jesus to be presented at the temple, and it was at the time of purification. And the law said, bring a lamb, a one-year-old lamb, and bring a bird. And that is the offering that you will give when the time of purification is done. But if you can't afford it, you may bring two birds. So the fact that they were bringing two birds meant that they were a family that couldn't afford it. And while everyone, rightly so, has questions about a lot of the Hebrew scriptures and a lot of the old law, we can also see the seeds of hope in that God, even a long time ago, was making a way for everyone to come and worship. If you had it, if you had the money, you brought better animals. If you didn't have the money, you brought the birds. And if you didn't have anything, they were supposed to provide for you what you needed so that you didn't feel left out or put out. And that's exactly why when Jesus grew up and came to this temple again, and they were charging people for these birds that they needed, exorbitant rates, and they were keeping those who were poor from being able to worship God, Jesus took out a whip and flipped the tables and said, enough is enough. My God makes a way for everyone to come, for everyone to be here. No matter how humble our circumstances are, we can come to the Lord. Because hope began in humble circumstances. The Son of God did not think it something strange or beneath him to be born as a child, to be born to humble poor parents, to participate with those who don't have as much as others. And what can we learn from that today? Well, there's a couple of things. You know, we all apply it in different ways in our lives. But I tend to think, you know, people struggle with what they can't do. Now, I don't know how to pray. And I always say, pray as you can, not as you can't. Well, I don't have enough money to give. Give as you can, not as you can. Well, I don't have enough time. Give what you can, not what you can't. Because every time you dedicate your life in some way to God, you're worshiping God, and God receives that. The problem is, we think we're disqualified. We think we're too poor. We don't deserve to be there. We're not in the right place. And so then we withhold. But in this story, you see that Mary and Joseph, even though they're struggling, even though they're poor, they don't withhold or hide. They bring what they can. They worship as they can. And they're received with open arms, just like everyone else. And I feel like hope also has humble beginnings most of the time in our life. Because who needs hope when everything's going great? Who needs hope when everything's right? But it's often when things are the darkest, when things are the messiest, when things are the most difficult, that hope can be born. And it continues to surprise me. Because there are places in this world, as we've talked about, where it seems like hope is literally on its last breath. Where what kind of hope is there in some of these war-torn, devastated, horrific, hell-on-earth places that people are living through right now? But at Christmas, I choose to believe that hope is born in the darkest part of the night, at the lowest point of the season. Hope is born, and no matter what our circumstances are, hope can be born in us today. But let's continue on with this story, shall we? Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went out into the temple courts. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and he praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, may you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory for your people, Israel. I believe that Simeon is an example of someone who knew how to live with hope. How to live with hope. So hope is born in very humble, poor circumstances. But then hope is something that we can live with our entire lives. And I see in Simeon an example of someone who was living with hope because he heard a word from God and he believed that word. Faith is defined as confidence in what we do not yet have, assurance of what we do not yet see. Confidence
in what we do not yet have assurance of what we'll see. When God said, you will see the salvation that I'm bringing, you will see the Messiah, the Savior of the world, Simeon lived his life believing that. And even though it took a long time, right? He was an old man before he got there. He did not give up on that hope. He did not let go of that hope. No matter what things were going on in his life, and he was religious and devout, and he put himself in the presence of God. I mean, I find this amazing. Because technically, this is before the Holy Spirit was given at Pentecost. Yet, he lived in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was on him. The Holy Spirit spoke to him. The Holy Spirit directed him. I don't know that we yet have many people who are living in that kind of power of the Holy Spirit. Where they are in the presence of the Holy Spirit. They are hearing the Holy Spirit. They are being directed by the Holy Spirit. And their hope and their confidence and what God is going to do does not waver. Oh, that we had people with such power of the Holy Spirit, right? Oh, that we had such people with confidence. If we only had two people that had that kind of confidence and that kind of power of the Holy Spirit, only two people in every single workplace, in every single school, in every single neighborhood, in every single family, dare I say, in every single church, this world would be a better place. Because you don't have to believe yourself to be influenced by a couple of people around you that hold on to hope, that hold on to hope and that live in the presence of God. In fact, he got to the point where he was just staying at the temple, you know? And again, I'm not saying everybody should do that. Some preachers might say, oh, you got to be at church all the time. No, no. Dude was old. His family was gone. I know enough retired older people now. When you got nothing to do, yeah, why not? You know, that was probably a good hangout place for him as any, right? He had the time, amen? He had the time when he got older to do things that maybe he didn't have the time to do when he was younger. But whatever it is for us, he stayed in the presence of God. He was religious and devout, meaning he had spiritual practices that he engaged in on a regular basis. And what I want to say about Simeon this morning is simply this. It doesn't happen by accident. You're not going to get full of the Holy Spirit by accident. You're not going to become strong in your faith by accident. You're not going to have hope that hangs on no matter what by accident. You're not going to live in that kind of joy, in that kind of where you can hear God speaking and God telling you what to do, like, okay, and you go do it and suddenly it comes to be. That doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't just stumble. You don't just stumble upon it. You have to be intentional. And again, it's not the same way for everyone, but it does require effort. Same way I've said about the church. I think the church is like a spiritual gym. Do you need to go to the gym to get in shape? No. There's plenty of ways you can get in shape on your own. But you have to have a plan. And so many people, if they want to grow spiritually, and by spiritually I mean hope comes from your spirit. You know, faith comes from your spirit. Joy and peace come from your spiritual life, whatever it is. So if you want to grow in your spiritual life, you have to have a plan. And for some people, the at-home plan works. For other people, the at-home plan doesn't work, right? For some people, going to the gym works because it's good to be around other people. It's good to have someone to work out with. Kind of sounds like our walk of faith, doesn't it? It's good to be around other people. It's good to have people to hold you accountable and to walk on this journey with, amen? But it doesn't happen by accident. But if we want to live with hope, we can look at Simeon. We can have spiritual practices that keep us connected to the presence of God, where we're hearing God's voice, and where we are believing that every word God has said will come true. Amen. How many of you believe that every word that God has said for you will come true? Here's an important distinction. Every word God says to you is not for everyone. But what God says for everyone is always for you. And so if you begin to understand what God has promised for the world, what God has promised for everyone, then you can be confident that you are included in the everyone. How do I know? Because of this passage that Simeon quoted. It's from the prophet Isaiah. Let's look at it again. It said, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, may you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light of revelation for the Gentiles and glory for the people of Israel. So in Isaiah chapter 49, God said to Isaiah, it's too small a thing for you, Messiah, to be my servant
to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I've kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth. Okay? So when the Bible says Gentiles, it was a word they used for everybody that wasn't Jewish. So that includes everybody. There was no need to list every nationality, every race, every ethnicity, every cultural background, every people group, because when you said Jews and Gentiles, that meant everybody in the entire world. Okay, so there's no need to distinguish all the things in between. It's everybody. So God said, my Messiah, my person who's going to bring salvation to the world, Jesus Christ, is for everyone. That means hope is for everyone. Amen? And it comes to everyone, regardless of race or nationality. But here's another cool thing about this story. It also comes to everyone, regardless of gender, because what some people forget is that Simeon wasn't the only person there. Can I get an amen? There was Anna as well. Let's look at her story. Now, there was a prophet Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow for 84. Wow, you talk about a life. 7 years of marriage, then a husband dies, and then she lived another 84 years. I don't know what age she got married, but she's old as well. Anna's up there in age. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. She's just like Simeon in every way. Same age, same dedication, same commitment to being in the presence of God. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. So hope for everyone. Hope for everyone. And I love that Anna's included in the story, because it's almost like right from the get-go, God wants to say, not only is this hope for everyone, everyone regardless of gender, men and women. And by saying men and women, means everyone. Again, saying Jews and Gentiles. When you say, you know, kind of the opposites or the ends of the spectrum from the east to the west, you're including everyone in between. It's all inclusive to say men and women. And the fact that Anna is there as well, and that she's a prophet. It's almost as if, not almost, it is, that prophecy of Joel is being fulfilled. In the last days, God said, I'm going to pour out my spirit on everyone. Men and women will prophesy, right? Young and old will prophesy. It's for the young and the old. It's for men and women. It's for Jews and Gentiles. Therefore, hope is for everyone. And if hope is for everyone, then hope is also for you. Amen? But there's one more piece about hope. Hope has humble beginnings, and it can be born in the most unlikely of places. Living with hope doesn't happen by accident, but it can give us such a confidence that it carries us throughout our entire lives. Hope is for everyone. Regardless of age, gender, race, economic background. But hope doesn't mean that we won't suffer. There's a little piece I'd like to go back to. Something Simeon said to Mary that I want us to look at for just a minute. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Wow. It's kind of a dark note in the Christmas scene, isn't it? But he reminds her, hey, this is hope. This is hope. All of this goodness is contained. It's going to happen. But the path is going to include suffering. Especially for you. I don't know if anyone that knew Jesus on earth suffered more than his mother. And he also said that Jesus would be spoken against, right? And so when we get frustrated that not everyone gets it, when we get frustrated that people don't agree with what we know to be right, when we get frustrated that people choose to live in ignorance and in the darkness, and they choose to continue to say that there is no hope, that there is no light, that there's nothing, that we understand that hope is always going to be spoken against. But that doesn't make hope any less hope. And hope doesn't take us away from our suffering, but hope takes us through our suffering. Amen? Amen. Jesus came not to snap his fingers and make everything shiny happy. He came to actually enter in and suffer with us in our pain, in our difficulty, in our struggles. Again, as I said last week, taking all of that negative energy, all of that evil, all of that darkness, all of our sin, all of our anxiety, all of our fear, all of our doubt, all of our violence, all of our hatred, to absorb it into his body on the cross, and then transform it into love and light for the world. Hope is born in suffering. One of the promises, I believe, from God in the Bible is what the Apostle Paul says: I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Or to put it quite simply, I know that what's to come is so much better than anything I have to go through now. Amen? I got one amen. Does anybody else want that? Anybody else want to believe that? Come on, can I get an amen, Trevor, from the back? What's to come is so much better, right, than whatever I have to go through now. Do you believe that? It's hard to believe that. Hope is hard. Hope is not easy. It's not easy. It's difficult. But I can't imagine living in this world without hope. I can't imagine not having some kind of strength from the Spirit of God to get me through whatever. It doesn't matter my circumstance. I can have the most humble circumstance. Hope can be born in my life. I don't know how long I'll live or how short I'll live, but I can live with hope when I put myself intentionally in the presence of God. I know that hope is for me because hope is for everyone. And so I never have to give up on anyone, anywhere, at any time, because God came to bring salvation to everyone. Hartford City Church base, better say amen on that. Because say it with me, what do we exist to do? Love all, serve all, welcome all. And when people say, well, what does that mean? I'm like, all means all. Every single person is welcome here at Hartford City Church. Because every single person is valuable to God. Every single person, God has come to give them hope, to bring them salvation, to walk with them out of whatever darkness they're in, and bring them into the light. Amen? Amen. I can think of nothing better as we get ready to celebrate Christmas with our family, our closest loved ones. And I thank God for that. And I thank God for each and every one of you, because we are a church family that has come together strong. You know, and I'm so appreciative of that. Nothing better than this prayer. This prayer found in the Bible in the book of Romans. And this is what I want to pray for each and every one of us here today. Amen. So I'm going to ask you just to take a couple deep breaths. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes if you want to, because I want to pray this over you. But I just want you to relax and just know that God's Spirit is here right now. And I just want to pray that hope would come into your heart and into your mind. And so God, our Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, your Son, and the Holy Spirit, I pray now, believing that these words will come true in every single person that's here and every single person listening online. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Jesus Christ, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.